That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. That's why God has subjected them to deception. God says to them, go and deceive them. They don't want, I mean, in fact, you know what God said to Isaiah? He said, go and deaden the ears of these people. Say to them, hear but don't understand. See and don't perceive. And then when liars come, they will be following them. Say, one woman burnt her shop because she's a hairdresser. Because somebody went to hellfire. And saw that it was only that all the women were in hellfire. And all the adulterous men were in heaven. Now, she didn't say it like that, too. You know, I'm the one that added it to it. When we got to heaven, we did not see women. Why? Most of them were perming their hair on the earth. But all the adulterous men, we saw them. Adultery is not a problem. Cheating people, selling genuine, fake things and calling it genuine is not a problem. But once you perm your hair, you're in hellfire. Tell them, Pastor Banky said, is a lie. He said, those guys, they didn't go to any hellfire. Two things happened. Some of them drank. They use LSD. You know what they call LSD? Oh, some of you don't know LSD. The most psychotropic of all chemical agents on this earth. Now, when you take one shot of LSD, you know, cocaine makes you feel good. Well, at least you've seen it. I know you have not used it before. All right? Some of you have smoked Indian hemp before, all right? You know the way Indian hemp does, cocaine is amplified. Are you getting what I'm saying? No, alcohol is nothing like that. Alcohol is, it depresses your brain. You start feeling tired and feeling happy, but slow, you are slow. But cocaine is different. Now, LSD doesn't do that to you. LSD makes you feel like God. LSD is described as we use the word for it in medicine. We say it's, give me the word now. Hallucinogenic. It's hallucinogenic that you start seeing things. You start seeing things. So you start communing with spirits. You just feel like you're in hellfire. You start seeing women with perm hair in hellfire. Their trousers and necklaces in hellfire. You know, young boys, you know, one of the things that happened, you just see a boy finish taking LSD. He suddenly feel like Superman. He will climb to the top of a building and he actually thinks he's going to fly. No, I'm not joking. No. And he actually take off like this. Yeah, of course. and he flies into real hellfire. No, what I'm telling you is not a joke. It's not a joke. There are a number of them. Things like mescaline. No, there are drugs that God said you must not take. So you are safe in Jesus' name. That is, none of it is commanding you. He has spoken in the heavens that this is my son, this is my daughter. You must never come across these substances. So a lot of those, you see all those rock stars, you think it's just, even demons can't do some of the things that drugs do to them. Even no, demons go draw back and say, oh boy, you're on your own. Now, why is all of that? So you don't know the kind of beggary some people have eaten. They now sleep and wake up and be dreaming. And after they've dreamt, they now wake up and suddenly they went to hellfire. And they always see celebrities. They don't see obscure people. That the only celebrities go to hell. They have to be Michael Jackson, Sonny Abacha, you know. And they don't see long-time celebrity, only the current one, the one that just died. I got a Michael Jackson was burning like this, And I saw the demons backsliding around him. Say lie. What did I call it? Don't believe a word of all that nonsense. Is it because I don't believe in hellfire? Of course I do. I believe in heaven, more importantly. I don't really care about hellfire much. I believe in heaven. And I'm going there, amen?
Amen.
I'm not trying to make it. I've made it. Just I'm going when I live here. I've made it already. No, the making of it is an established matter. I have made it already. I mean, you can't find me in America now. And I tell you, I've made Nigeria. I'm just going to go back home. Is that not so? Why? I'm a citizen. That is the idea. And I'm telling you that if indeed you have believed, you are a citizen.
Amen.
You are a citizen of heaven.
Amen.
I say you are a citizen of heaven.
Amen.
Everything I've said so far, this is a summary of it. Before I get back to where I took off from. The summary is that if you have a heart that's going towards God, that's seeking God for righteousness' sake, not trying to use him, then you are immune to all these deceptions. Not because you are smart in yourself, but because God is kind. Do you understand that? Yeah, because he's kind. And he knows the heart of those that truly love him. And he will do what he has to do to keep them secure. He will do what he has to do to make sure they are not deceived. That's what I'm trying to explain. Now, back to where I actually began from. So we're talking about this walking in the spirit matter. That God doesn't expect us to know everything or to be able to do everything. What he just says is that there are little things I've given you to do. You do them, and then I will take care of the rest. That's what grace is. One I've spoken about already when we're talking about the book, that God gave the kings in Israel a commandment that you will write a book and you will read the book. And I said to you, if you want to endure on your own throne in life, you must be reading a book. And there's no story about it. You cannot explain that one away. You must be reading a book. That is, apart from reading your Bible, there must be things that you read all the time. And let me get really practical again. For example, I read a book like I Believe in Visions by Kenneth Hagin. It helps me. It helps me, all right? A book like Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits by Kenneth Hagin. It helps, you understand? When you read God's Generals, it helps. These are books you continue to read all the days of your life. They keep you in check. That's how God pours his spirit of stability into your soul, when you keep reading a book. And that's number one thing when we talk about walking in the spirit. Now, what I wanted to get into today, let's get back there now. Let's just go back to the scriptures we used. Is that, okay, let me review one thing again for a moment. Don't forget, walking in the spirit said, he that sows to his own flesh will from there reap what? Corruption. But he that sows to the spirit will from there have the manifestation of eternal life. Now, so we said this is how it is. Everything we are doing in life, I talked about that last time, is a seed. It is a seed. Everything you are doing in life is a seed. Now, there's something I want to explain. When Paul was writing this, he was trying to emphasize to people how not to walk in the flesh. That is, how not to walk in sin, how not to walk in iniquity. All right? Because this life can be tough. Satan is on you all the time trying to tempt you. Jesus Christ was not tempted 3 times. If you think he was tempted only 3 times, you don't understand anything yet. He was not tempted 3 times. You only have the account of 1 temptation. All right? Before then, he was being tempted. After that, he was tempted. Many times people will come to him, let us make you king. That was still the manifestation of the temptation. When they will come to him, and even when Peter and Co. said, look, let's burn down the city, it was still a temptation. So he was tempted all the time. And I'm saying to you, Satan will tempt you all the time. But instead of focusing your attention, all right, every time on how do I overcome this temptation? How do I ensure I don't fall? God said, don't focus your attention on that. You will never win if you do that. What do? You walk in the spirit. Or you walk by the spirit. Meaning the same thing. I want to use the word by today, which is what New Americans that I use, so as to emphasize a point. Now, when Paul was writing this, people were being educated on keeping the commandments of the law. How, you know, to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy, how not to do this. And the law has so many commandments that it was difficult for them to keep. In fact, the argument Paul had, all right, with those people was that, why are you trying to impose upon the Gentiles the things that your fathers could not keep? All right, that was the way it is. So, and you know, I said something the other time, that if you count the commandments, really, the commandments under the Old Testament, they had the limits. There were 300 something of them, both the commandments and ordinances and all of that. Okay, but in the New Testament, they have no limit. They do not have any limit. If you want to look at it, it's actually more difficult in Christianity, because the commandments go to areas that you can't even think about normally. An average Muslim shouldn't think about those areas. An average unbeliever cannot even conceive what we're discussing in these kind of things. For example, thou shalt not commit adultery. That's good. That's simple. You know when you have committed adultery. Is that not so? But what about don't even look? My things are getting rough there. Are you getting my point? And you're walking around every day and they are putting it in your eyes. And they say, don't look. Okay, let's not forget the look. It should be that one that you can just poke out your eyes and that's it. But you can close it. What if I don't even think about it? Now this commandment is getting too tight. Okay, so but that thought that came to my mind, was it Satan? Was it temptation or was it me? Have I sinned? And that's why people wake up every day. You know, I was talking to one sister the other day. Some of you know who I'm talking about. He used to go to a church where commandments were the thing. As I said, why did you run away? He said, those people tormented me. Now, she said that this was the problem. That before you sleep, you will lie down and be thinking of the sins you have committed. You didn't do anything, no. You just lie down. Why? Just in case you die in your sleep. So you don't go to hellfire. You know the reason? Because God can send you to hellfire for any bad thought that went through your mind. As a young woman, if one boy toasted you that day and you were tempted to agree, you know it's Christianity, not Judaism. The thought of agreeing is already a sin. So you will confess. God, though, when Jumbo was greeting me this morning, my heart was loving him. You confess. Then, okay, you have written about it. You don't even know which one you did not do or which one you did. So finally, you say, God, in case I forgot any other one, I hereby confess it. So God says, wait, wait, that's not the confession. Confession is to admit you did something. Hey, you say, God, right now I can't remember anything I've done. So let me just admit that I did everything. They asked one man, he came to hospital, was filling a form. It's a joke I read somewhere. He said, what are you? Your religion. He said, I'm an Anglican. Ah, so there was a priest there. No, he was sick. So they said, they let him get him a priest. So what are you? He said, I'm an Anglican. So they went and got an Anglican priest. The Anglican priest arrived. He said, when were you baptized an Anglican? He said, I can't remember. Who confirmed you an Anglican? He said, nobody. Ah. You did not go through confirmation? He said, no. So how come you're an Anglican? He said, one day I went to church. I was an Anglican church. And they were praying. They said, we have done what we are not supposed to do. And we have left undone what we are supposed to do. I said, that's the perfect picture of my life. I must be an Anglican too. That guy said, that's how he became. That's how he said, I must be an Anglican. Because, I mean, me to have left undone many things I was supposed to do. And that is how we begin to confess ourselves as Christians. A young woman told me that it was so bad that it was torment for her soul. And let me say something to you. Evil spirits like that. Because when it comes to legalism, you can never win. Just in case you are feeling condemned, let me quickly tell you something again. The Bible says, if God were to number iniquity, nobody will stand. Me, inclusive. Billy Graham, number one. Kenneth Hagin, a sinner. All of us. So you can be sure. Let me say this. A lot of people think I'm telling Christians to be lax in their life. I'm not. I'm telling you the truth. That is why God is not going to send you to hellfire for every little thing you did wrong. Did you hear what I said?
Yes,
let me say it loud. Stop watching those videos. It's not for you. Unless you're not a true Christian. You know, I've said it before. The major problem is that people mix everybody together. They think everybody that comes to church is a Christian. Many of them are not. Some don't believe in God. Their wives drag them there. The man will tell the children, your mother said we should all go to church. So all of them will come to church. And the other way around too. So men say, this woman, you won't drag me to hellfire. Otherwise, and the woman knows the meaning of otherwise in that house. So go to church, join women's group. Everything. Why? Because of the husband or because of the wife. None of these people I've described are true Christians. Some go to church because they were born into that church. That's the commonest un-Christian Christian people around. Yes, they were born into the church. The owner of the house where I live, my landlord, current one, elderly man now, he said to me once, I've told you the story, that his father was a bishop. That he did not know he was not a Christian until his daughter was in university, his own daughter, and came home one day to explain to him what it meant to give your life to Christ. He said, that was when I finally gave my life to Christ. I was a 50-something-year-old man. And he was an elder in the church. He was a senior person in the church, especially since he came from a very respected family. The man said it never crossed his mind that he wasn't a Christian. Or his daughter explained to him that, they give birth to you inside this place doesn't mean anything. No. And that's why people say to you that Christians can go to hell. They can, in that sense. But a man, a woman who consciously gives his life to Christ and does not turn his back on him, does not go to hell. He said, Pastor Banker, are you preaching eternal security? I don't know what eternal security means. I don't know what it means. What I know, that until you deny that Lord, he knows how to keep you. He knows those who are his own. That's what I'm preaching. He doesn't know those who come to church. Many people come to church. A lot of people believe that if I don't go to church, husband won't find me. So that good men only go to look for good wives in church. So they go. The other way around too. Some men say, you want a good girl? You go to church. And they will come to church regularly until they find. Sometimes this project is 2 years, 3 years. By that time he has joined, and if he's going to a church where they promote people by performance, you know, activity, he's already a pastor. And people don't believe that. How can a man become parish pastor and he has not given his life to Christ? Hear it today. It happens. Like I said to you last time, if the disciples of Jesus were born again, let's assume, let's not even argue the theology. Let's not do any head splitting on whether it was possible to be born again before Christ died or not. Let's assume that they were Christians. Let us assume, all right? Judas was not one. Judas was anointed. When Jesus said, go and cast out demons, Judas used to cast out demons. Judas also will get there and say, peace be upon this home, and peace will come upon that home. Judas will lay his hand on the sick, they will get well. But Jesus said, did I not choose you 12? Yet one of you is a devil. Our fellow was a devil from the beginning, and he was a devil to the end. Many people are in ministry for what they can get. They are not Christians. Let me say to you again, those are the people going to hell. You are not going. What did I say? Say it again. You need to know that. You need to know that. God knows what he's doing. I don't know. All these funny videos flying around is always making me change my message now. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, so this is what I'm making. So instead of being afraid of going to hell, instead of being afraid of doing something wrong, instead of being afraid, like that young woman told me, she was so scared. It was torment. And it's in the Bible. The Bible says fear has torment. When a Christian walks around thinking about might go to hell, he's tormented. When he wants to be deceived, he's afraid. Or, you know, he knows it's a deception. He said, come, bring your money. Otherwise, he says, hey, if I don't give, then I may go to hell. He does, or she does, everything because he's afraid of hellfire. But Jesus said, Paul is saying to us, no, walk in the Spirit. Don't worry about the desires of the flesh. He said, if you are walking in the Spirit, those who preach the Galatians are trying to tell them, these are the commandments. These are the commandments. And the commandments to remember them a lot is a problem. To remember them alone is a problem. So Paul said, neglect all of those activities, all of those efforts. Don't worry about it. Just walk by the Spirit. What does it mean to walk by the Spirit? All right, number one, we already talked about that. Just focus on the Word of God. Let it be the central thing in your life. Let me talk about the Spirit side. All right, I want to talk about that. Let me see where I can get to before we stop. Quickly go again to the book of Psalms. Let's read that chapter 32. When you get to your office, let me teach you how to preach, eh? Sorry, please, I'm digressing. Just remind me that I said we should open to what? We are going to get there, all right? But just remind me, let me quickly say what I want to say. I know I'm digressing, but you know we have to keep preaching truth, is that also? Yes. We have to keep telling the truth. We have to help the people of God, because there's a lot of confusion out there. Now, before we read it, anywhere you see, in fact, this video to work for our advantage in Christianity, amen? In true Christianity, all these joker videos all over the place. We just need to teach people the truth. Tell people that God looks at the heart. It's man that looks on the outside. So man is not the one sending you to hellfire. It is God. Is that not so? Yes. Now sit the person down. Say, now let's examine your heart. Have you given your heart to Christ Jesus? Or you are going to church only for what you can get? He said, I don't know. It's simple to, we can arrange it so that you will be sure. Teach the person simply. What does it mean to give your life to Christ? It means to acknowledge the fact that you are a sinner. You don't have to number your iniquity. Your whole life is a sin if you have not given your life to Christ. You don't just say, okay, let me confess. No, don't need to confess. For being alive and not giving your life to Christ is a sin. Are you getting my point? So no need. Once you accept that, say, you know you can't save yourself. You can't. The person says, hey. And let me tell you something. Don't try to be smart. How do I say it? It's not necessary. Just tell the truth. You know why? The Holy Spirit is there doing his job. Say to the person simply, only Jesus can save you. He can change your evil heart to a good heart. He died so that your sins might be forgiven. Believe that and you are a Christian. And believe me, you will never go to hell. You pray with the person. as the soul won. You know the truth, which I want to talk about briefly. Let's just look at this. He said, how blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, in whose spirit there is no deceit. Please, I want you to understand something here. I've been saying again and again, God does not just send people to hellfire because of one thing they did. God said, I, the Lord, I test the heart. I search the mind. These are the things I check before I send anybody anywhere. I told you just now, I saw a lady who looked very, very holy, but was a witch, literal one. Was involved in occultism and was manipulating other people. That girl is going to hell very fast. I hope she doesn't die quickly after I saw her. As a matter of fact, God will send her into eternal damnation simply because she's a wicked soul. She has joined leagues. She has joined a league with evil spirits to manipulate innocent young people. She needs to be... Now, she was looking like a picture of holiness. If we're supposed to pick holiness from outside. That lady I told you earlier was telling me about torment and all of that. Said in her church where she used to go to, that the woman in charge of their children's church was the most wicked person she knew. A grandmother. Let's not go there. Some of these people, you see, wickedness. And what I'm preaching against that wickedness. Don't come and deceive me what you look like outside. Just by the way, this is what I say for Christians who want to know. These senses are our watchword. That's it. That's our watchword. Decency. I don't want to see you looking like you are Jezebel reincarnated. Are you getting my point? It's just decency. Some things, listen to me. Everybody knows what's decent. Let's not fool ourselves. We all know what's decent. How do I know? Go to a normal church on a Sunday. I don't know where I get my point. All the attires of harlots, they disappear. That means the girls there know what is decent. They do. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Most of the other things we do is pure tradition, varying from one community to another. Wherever you go, do you know? You know that in Islamic land, a man can't wear nikah. Yeah. Islam does not allow men to expose their knees. Yeah. That's why Islamic women always wear trousers. It's been standard with them. But to them, it's really decent. It's far more decent than skirts. You will not find a real Islamic man wearing nikah above his knee. Never. It's against their religion. Some of you are hearing that for the first time. A lot of other things we do is just... And listen, Christians should not be troublemakers. Are you getting my point? The first day my wife came to my house, no matter how nice and decent it is, don't wear trousers to that household. Nothing, not a sin, no. Just that, make a good first impression with my mother. And there's a lot of other things are just what? Traditions, you know, culture. And we respect things that can be respected. Don't go around looking for trouble. Are you getting my point? Now, having said that, let's get back to what I'm trying to say. What God looks at is the spirit. What do I say the spirit? And when Paul said, walk by the spirit, you know, I'm emphasizing on the word by now, by. The word in Greek is en. It can use as in or by. That's why New American Standard, which is one I use standardly, says walk by the spirit. What does it mean to walk by the spirit? Let's get back to this Psalm 32. David says, no, just look at me, don't worry, I'm just going to refer to it. He said, blessed is the man whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are forgiven, who God is not imputing any transgression to. He said, in whose spirit there is no deceit. That tells you something. There is a spirit behind everything we are doing. There is. I found out the major thing on this earth right now is that truth is dead. Anytime Barack Obama is talking, I get angry. That guy does not know the meaning of the word truth. No. I'm not trying to be an Obama basher. He's just that he does not know what truth is. He only sees things for the popularity. A lot of people are shouting, gay marriage, allow gay marriage. You know their problem? They are afraid to go against what is popular. And the gay people have strategized themselves. CNN, all you need to do is watch CNN for a day or two. You see what I'm saying. CNN is in the forefront of this gay thing. They always bring up the matter. Even when it's irrelevant. I told you before, the day Obama took his oath, the second oath, the guy who read the poem, he read a nice poem, handsome looking man, they pointed out to us that he's gay. So that we see that gay people are normal people too. Nobody is saying gay people are not normal people. I just said they are normal people that have been infected by an abnormal demon. That's all. And the fact that you feel like it, which is what they're trying to say, is how I feel. The madmen walking naked on the road, you think how they don't like how they are walking, they like it too. That's how they feel. I don't know why I found all of this. See, it's inside the man's body. Listen to me. If you were born blind, is it your fault? In quote. Will you now say you want to drive me to Onitsha? I will enter the car. Because we're born gay, doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it normal. There are many conditions. I'm a doctor. I'm a pathologist. There are many conditions on this earth. A huge chunk of diseases on this earth, people are born with them. You've heard of a hole in the heart. We call them congenital cardiac abnormalities. You can call it a hole in the heart. We say the person is born with it. Does it stop the doctor from correcting it when he can? And I say, oh, madam, this is your son was born with his ventricular septal defect. We have to respect his right and rearrange the whole world to fit him. Because he was born with a ventricular septal defect. Listen to me. We don't say that. We carry him to a good hospital. Get him a very good heart surgeon. Open up his chest. Bring out the heart. I'm serious. Doctors do that. Open it and patch the hole. And close it back. You were born with it. Does not make it no longer abnormal. Take this message to everybody. Don't let them fool you. I don't care whether anybody was born homosexual or not. It is an abnormality. As at the time I was in medical school, it was taught to us as a disorder of object. It was in the same class as those who have sex with animals. There were things that were called disorders. As at that time, 87, it was being taught still. There's a disorder. In case you do not know, there's one man, his name just escaped me now, whose research publication ignited what they call the sexual revolution. Why? He did a study and found that a lot of people are adulterers. A lot of people like to have sex recklessly. So he says it must be normal. I said, why is this man a fool? He forgot that most Americans still steal till today. Why did you not say stealing is now normal? An average Nigerian is corrupt, you know that? Why did you not say, okay, corruption is our nature? Why are we still trying to correct it? Just by the way, one boy wrote a mail the other day to us that, he wants to know about this homosexuality. He went somewhere. I just said, look, God's word is clear. I didn't say anything. I said, the word of God is clear. I forwarded two scriptures. Leviticus chapter 18. He said, do not have sex with a man as you would with a woman. It is an abomination. That's the word the Bible used. New Living Tradition says it's a detestable thing. In Romans chapter 1, he said it's a sign of godlessness. That when men have rejected God, he gives them over to the depravity of their minds. An evil spirit now enters into the atmosphere. Go and read Rick Joyner's final quest. He said he releases an influence, one single demon. He pours something on many people. They start thinking crazily. He now recruits places like CNN and Co. and BBC. And listen to me. God is reserving most of Africa and Asia as a place for people to hide, where they can see the truth. As for these European countries, I don't have nothing to say. Anyway, let me get back to my main message. I know when I'm talking to somebody, I just get distracted by it. Don't mind stupid things going on in this world. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, you know something here. The major problem is the death of truth. I can beat my chest to say this. Obama does not believe one word of that nonsense he utters. He does not. He doesn't. One of the problems I found with people is this. When you are talking to them, I saw your dad in the office. I was very angry with people. There were no more women in my office. I was talking. Something led to, I don't want to give the details, but I was trying to bring the obvious truth out by saying 1 + 1 + 1 should be 3. And then nobody agreed it was 3. They'll keep on saying that, and sometimes, you know, 4 may be, it may just be 4. I said, let's calculate it again. I'm trying to make it simple now with a long discussion. I say 1 + 1, that's 2, then 3. And put another one to it. Is that not 3? Sir, you know, sometimes the 2 may not want to change. Let's go by it again. After a while, something struck me. I said, that's the problem with people. They don't want to stick with truth. They were women. They had something to do with maternity leave and some laws and all of that, you know, in the office. And one was currently pregnant. The other one is nursing. And there were other 2 women there. And I was talking about one other one that's on maternity leave that's supposed to resume work about 2 weeks or 3 weeks after that. So I was just trying to explain some things that I would not accept in the office. And so I now said, okay, if you guys don't agree with me, this is at least the law. Do you know? I realized something. Because they realized they are saying, yes, that is true, means that they will be adversely affected. That to do when you come to work and when you close as a nursing mother. I just said, can you see human beings? The truth is obvious, but they will speak according to what they are going to gain. I don't want to go talking about what affairs now. The truth is this, If we agree to tell the truth, a lot of the problems on this earth, they will go away. But we don't face the truth. We don't tell ourselves the truth. We don't. I'm going somewhere. This is where I'm going. Everything you do in life, there is a reason why you are doing it. That thing is called the spirit of your action. Do you get my point? Paul says something. Because of time, I'm going to stop. I hopefully I can pick it up next time. Paul said, walk in love. Now, you see something. If you go back to that Galatians chapter 5, you see a point he made there. I have to stop now because I just looked at my time. It's really, really, really gone. Let's just go back to that Galatians chapter 5. I'll read this time again from verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Now, notice that. For through love, he said, but through love, serve one another. In that same verse 16, but I say walk by the Spirit. Another scripture I wanted to read today. We'll read them next time. Let me just stop with this, all right? Let me, because of time. You'll see that anytime Paul wants to pray for the people, he never prayed so that they'll be able to keep God's righteous laws and commandments. He always used to pray for 2 things. That God will give them the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of revelation. That's number 1. Number 2, that their love for one another will increase. Because anybody running after the knowledge of God, 1. And number 2, making sure that his spirit, in everything he does, the spirit is love. That fellow is walking. That is the long and short of it, in the spirit and by the spirit. 2 things I've said. You will see something. He said the fruit of the spirit is, did you notice that it's not are, is love, joy. That is, everything is together. Once, I remember many years ago, after the Lopotife came to our school and he said something. He said the fruit of the spirit is love. So that's all. He said joy, peace, long-suffering are other manifestations of love. That the fruit of the spirit is love. That the spirit cannot be is and be many things. That the fruit of the spirit is love. That joy is an expression of love. That long suffering is an expression of love. There's a point I want to bring out from there. If every seed bears fruit after its kind. And the fruit of the Spirit is love. What would the seed of the Spirit be? It has to be love. Love. For what? And that suddenly clinches it. The commandment, two things. Upon this hang all the law and the prophets. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. And that is his word. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That is, if in your life, two things. You mind your spirit. Go and read this to our message. The gospel according to Ruth. One of them I called, take heed to your spirit. We took from Malachi there, when God was talking about how you have dealt treacherously with the wife of thy youth. I was listening to one Islamic guy on TV, they were debating on polygamy. And you know, it was a talk show. And someone that came afterwards said, okay, you, there were many people. There were Christians, Islamic people. There was a talk show in Lagos on TV. And someone that asked him, you, why did you marry a second wife? Now listen to this. Because, you know, he said, take heed to your spirit. In whose spirit there is no deceit. They said, why did you marry a second wife? He thought for a moment. Now let me tell you something. All this one of, should small girls marry? You know, the debate in Nigeria right now. Or not marry. All these things would not be a debate if we took heed to our spirits. If the men will for one moment think of the girl and stop thinking about their stupid libido, the whole thing will stop. Some of those men shouting, they are perverts. They can't sleep with anything that's more than 15. They are hiding behind religion. It's not religion. They are perverts. It's called pedophilia. They love to sleep with small girls. Because if religion says you can marry four wives, why don't you marry four adults? I have been married for over 13 years. I don't want a second wife. My wife looks more beautiful to me every day. And God knows I'm not lying to you. I'm not trying to preach. I look at when we marry, I say, okay, what was I looking at when I married you that time? That now you're fine. I said on TV once, one woman saw me next day at work, said, what? I've never heard this before. It's a spirit. The men who don't feel like that, they refuse to feel like that. It's a spirit. It's just a decision I made. I told you once I was driving. It struck me that my wife was not there. I still remember I was in front of Kia, between Kia and where they are constructing road there. I was in my car. I said, come, my wife's so normal to me these days. I said, I lie. While driving, I prayed. I said, no. The Bible says, be exhilarated with her love at all times. A decision. Men lie. They lie. You're arguing. No, not my religion says that a 13-year-old girl can marry. Abike Dabri, I was reading her. Abike Dabri said, I was a reporter with NTA, and I covered the health segment. He said, I saw small girls, how pregnancy ruined their lives. That their pelvis cannot carry the pregnancies. That their lives are ruined by VVF. He said, I'm a Muslim too. Let them not lie to me. Islam did not say we should marry small girls. I'm not an issue. The problem with people, with those men, is that they are only thinking of their pleasure. If you think of that girl for a moment, we won't be debating this. Think of her for a moment. For one moment, at the age of 13, sleeping with a man who's 50, the man is impregnating her. At the age of 13, she has to carry a pregnancy. She's hardly developed herself. Think of her for a moment, and no religion will tell you marry her, because no religion commanded it. Even if it is allowed, is it expedient? And we know from Christianity that Jesus said even the things that was allowed under Judaism was because of the wickedness of the heart of the people they were preaching to. Let's tell ourselves the truth. The problem in this life is that oftentimes people don't tell the truth. Walk in the Spirit. What does it mean? Whatever I'm doing, I ask myself a simple question. How is it benefiting my neighbor? Then, you know what he says? No law will be necessary. Let me stop. I hope you're blessed today. Just bow down your hand. Just say, Father, I thank you.